Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Welcome back, folks. We like having you here with us here on Close Up Talk Radio. Today, we're going to welcome back Dr. Vatsala Sastry as a guest. She's been with us now for several times. She is a highly rated infectious disease doctor. She's based in Florida, which obviously, you know, is under the threat of a hurricane, which is about to strike while we're speaking here in her area. But anyway, she decided to become an infectious disease doctor so she could help people live longer lives free of pain and diseases. And she has been talking with us about how simple vaccines or drugs could mean a lifetime of freedom from illnesses. Infections, of course, can absolutely be cured with a proper diagnosis, and her lifelong mission is being able to help patients live healthy and very successful lives. She's a very busy doctor. She spent the morning at the hospital making rounds, and now she's back at her home to talk with us in her office. It's interesting, doctor. I wanted to ask you very quickly. You talked about making rounds at the hospital this morning. I was wondering, with the impending arrival of the hurricane, how is the hospital preparing for it? Are they all ready for this in your area down in Florida?
Yes, and thank you for having me come and communicate with everybody. It's always a pleasure and an honor. So, yes. So it is really just now, as you and I are talking, it is attacking Fort Myers and Punta Gorda. It is just about arriving over there. And this the unusual thing is this entire surrounding area, you know, there's some mild rain and the trees are shaking. So between now and tomorrow morning, it's going to be kind of rough. So what the hospital started doing from actually yesterday evening they started is they locked their doors. And the nurses and the kitchen people have to stay in there. So some of the whatever empty rooms there are, that's where they stay. And that's what's going on right now. And most people cannot come in unless physicians, because we are allowed to get in. So we did. So what we did, we went way early in the morning to make all the rapid rounds and do it. And now at home we'll attempt to do our notes. But we don't know if the computers will close or not, but we still attempted to do it. But, yeah, the hospitals have locked all their doors, though. They're not allowing other people. But the ER is open. But we don't know if the EMS can bring in any patients. But if they can, you know, the ER is still open for them, yes.
Well, it's very interesting hearing you talk about that. It's because your doctor, you're married to a doctor, a highly known, recognized internal medicine specialist. So the two of you go to the hospital and make rounds together in the morning, right? It's teamwork for you, which is good. Let me ask you something, though, about your length of time living in Florida. Have you been through hurricanes in Florida before?
Yes, but they have mainly been in the south. And, you know, when I was young and I start working, I never pay any attention to it. But if something is really bad, you know, they do document, so we do it. But this is actually the worst. And if you really look at all the history and everything, and the radio is coming along very good, and the TV, they're all bringing it all out. It has been over 100 years that we've had something this tough. So this is one of the worst one in 100 years. So Florida was absolutely raised in order to protect themselves, and a lot of people traveled here. There are different areas, and nobody's allowed to be out on the beach and on the boats and things like that. Yeah. So this is the worst in 100 years.
Well, listen, we wish you luck. I know you're in Brookville, Florida. How close are you to the Tampa area? Are you in that region? Fairly close.
Yes, about 45 minutes away, and you know, this particular storm is huge. And sort of that's why even Brooksville, Citrus County, which is north, you can just see the rain. So you know it's there. But the toughest part is where that open area is, which is in Fort Myers right now. Yes.
Yes, yeah. Well, listen, good luck to you. We hope things, you know, are controlled and it's not too bad and everything goes well. We'll all keep our fingers crossed and say our prayers for you guys, okay? Welcome you back now and talk about your specialty, which is infectious diseases, and we've talked about this before, but we spoke a week or so ago, we got on the subject of polio, which is very interesting. We didn't mention COVID and the vaccines for COVID. What, to your knowledge, what's the latest? We're not seem to be hearing that much about COVID. I know it's still there. People are still getting sick from it. What's your advice right now for people when it comes to the subject of COVID? For example, people like me, I've had four COVID shots. Do you think that's enough? I've had the main two and then two boosters. That's am I okay?
I'm very proud that you did that. I am very proud that you did that. When we all do analysis and we look at the data and we look at the issues that go on, there's nothing that we do but get the vaccines. Because I will tell you, when COVID first started in around 2020, and it was in around April in Florida that we saw the first few cases, and of course I was on consult on all of them. So when I went there and I saw them, it just broke my heart, because many of them literally died in 2-3 days in the hospital, and it just that's what stings us the most. And it was so, we were all so afraid, and everybody was extremely, and we had to totally dress our face and body and everything and go walk on. Everything was done through the internet, and then the nurses, we had to work so hard. And really, within 2-3 days, many of them passed away. So it just absolutely changed us when it first attacked. So after that, because of the vaccines that everyone is getting bit by bit by bit, all our immune globulin profile is fighting, and we're all getting a little stronger. And I'm very proud of you that you got your fourth vaccine. Currently, in August, we were able to come out with the fourth vaccine, which attacks the Omicron variant, and that is the key. And currently, as bad as it was 2-3 years ago, it's not that bad, but some people do come in, and they can still get very sick. It just depends on the individual person. So what we are noticing right now is many patients come into the hospital, and we praise them to the skies because they've gotten their 2-3 vaccines, and they still get just a little bit of fever and cough and cold, and we keep them in the hospital. Of course, we have to isolate again because the COVID is positive. Mm-hmm. But they're not sick at all. The chest X-ray, CAT scan is clean. They just have almost like a small teeny bronchitis because they've gotten so many vaccines. Their body's fighting. So now you see that? You see the critical importance of getting vaccines. It makes a huge difference. Now, I'm glad you brought up that thing about the polio. Yeah. When you don't get the vaccine,
it is still possible to get COVID. Most of the people we hear who get COVID, they're pretty mild cases, though. And I assume that's because they've had the vaccine. If they haven't had the vaccine, can it still be life-threatening? If they haven't had anything,
absolutely.
You know? It can be.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And remember, one other thing also, COVID is also very unusual. If somebody gets it without the vaccine, they get unusual, different issues. The brain acts funny. The heart acts funny, and the GI tract acts funny, and it's different. But that vaccine, what it does, for some reason, it attacks and protects this virus, so it doesn't attack us that bad. So that the vaccines are really incredible.
Let me ask you, for those who've had the four, the first two initial two inoculations that you got with the first series of shots, and then the two additional boosters, which would mean four, is there anything more after that, or is that it for as far as what folks should get if they've had up to those four boosters, four shots?
You know what I love is the questions that you ask. So let's bring it out this way. So when people have vaccines, as you and I just talked about, we do better. So you just get a little bronchitis, a little cough for maybe maximum a day or two, and it's just gone. You don't get high fevers. You don't get pneumonia. You don't get bad things in the lungs. You're not intubated, nothing like that. That's the absolute advantage of the vaccine. Now, to answer your question, it looks almost like, just like we get the influenza vaccine almost every year. Look at that. Every year we have to get it. Why? And I'll explain that to you. We should get a COVID vaccine. They want to do that because of the dangerous effect that it had on the entire world and the amount of deaths. I think we should print that number all the time just so everybody's aware of it. It protects us. And so what we have to do, we're going to have to take it for a year, for a long time. Now, if you go back to the previous pandemics that we have, when did we have the first sort of pandemic that we were able to document and do? It was over 100 some years ago, influenza. Remember that? And now, look, it's 100 years later. We take it once a year. And that protects people from influenza, and you have to take it again. Why do we have to do that? And that's the one thing for us humans, you know, it's kind of frustrating. What is it? Why is it? Because this particular virus varies, sir. It varies, varies, varies. And it keeps wanting to attack us. So what our body has to do, and they do the new vaccines very well every year, and they adapt to the new variant. And that's why we have to keep taking it. And once we do that for a long time, our human body continues to develop, and the children and the babies and pregnant women who have children slowly adapt. And we will not allow that nasty virus to attack our body and affect us. So I do believe that we're going to have to take it once a year, just like we take the influenza vaccine. We're going to have to take that and keep going on, sir. And we can talk about
COVID,
another virus.
That's the COVID vaccine you're talking about. That's very interesting that every year we may have to get an annual booster. How about that? Interesting.
Yes.
You mentioned influenza. I was going to bring that up because, you know, we're approaching October. It's just days away. The flu season is starting to approach. You talked about influenza. What's interesting about the flu vaccine is, you know, the labs have been producing the shots that we're going to be getting, the medication that people will be getting this fall. But it seems like every year there are different strains of flu that come and affect people. And the shots aren't always designed for that particular strain. Talk a little bit about that. It's a guessing game to a degree, isn't it?
I'm glad you said that. And that is why the IDSA, the CDC, and the NIH is what really should do all this, and the government always helps them. And this country is wonderful with the viruses, and so Asian countries, because they have incredibly more viruses. And if they don't take them, they're in very bad shape. So coming back to this, what I really believe that a great thing can be done is, which is already done to an extent, but just like you mentioned, I do believe around the time of August, September, I believe the NIH, IDSA, all of them, they should sit down and take a look at what particular variants are coming. And we should have, and there are many companies, right, Pfizer, Moderna, and they all have multiple vaccines. So all they have to do is they have to sit down, look at it, the scientists work on it, and change it, and then immediately, you know, produce many of them and get it out there. And in the olden days, so we very difficult to make the vaccines, but now look, even for HIV, it took almost 8-9 years, you know, to get treatments and all to fix it. But now look at the COVID, within less than 1 year, we were able to get the vaccines, which is incredible. So they have to do some kind of profound analysis around August to September, and then we have to start taking the correct vaccines, which will protect us from the variants that keep coming. And that is not only influenza, sir. Exactly like you said, I'm glad you brought that up. And, you know, our citizens in this country are the greatest. We are always the ones that learn, and we always communicate, and we always say things, and we always, you know, request, you know, superior things. And I think that's what should go on. We should say, wait a minute. What kind of 2, 3, 4 variants are there of different kind of viruses? Please can the NIH, can they make them, or the, you know, all these big pharmacy companies, can they make some of them, and then they get the right ones out, and then we'll take them, and that's a good idea. And I think, you know, we citizens should say things like that, and then hopefully that thing should continue to go on, because we have to protect ourselves. Just look at the damage of this particular pandemic. It was really horrendous. Yeah. I agree with what you said. Yes.
It's interesting you point, because I just got a notice from my doctor's office yesterday that it's time for me to come in and get a flu shot. So obviously, you know, the medical community has decided what kind of flu shot they're going to be giving out this year that most all of us will be getting. You don't go into a doctor's office and have a choice of two or three different, you know, flu shots to get. There's only one, right?
Yes. And you know, the one advantage of that, it is not as deadly as the COVID variant and virus. So therefore,
right,
I think somehow you can still get away with it. But I do believe, and you know, you brought up something which is really incredible, and I'm glad you brought this up. I really believe that there has to be some kind of analysis and variant, and there has to be more work, and something does have to be done going forward. From next year, without a doubt, they have to do much more analysis and do it. And by the way, do you know, I will tell you what I have seen here as well. Not only did a person have COVID, they also had influenza. The influenza A was positive. For some of them, influenza B was positive. So we had to give them Tamiflu in addition to give them remdesivir and baricitinib and all that. Look at that. So you're right. So I really believe, I'm so glad by us having this conversation and bringing this up. I really believe, and one day I really do, I'm going to go to the IDSA and communicate with them that we do have to do profound analysis of the new viruses and variants. And then I think analysis has to be done, you know, around June, July. And when you find it out, then we have to change the vaccine so you can protect the citizens better. Yes.
Well, it's just a fascinating subject to talk about, and it is certainly something that we're all going to have to be dealing with, especially when it comes to the flu shots, because the time is rapidly approaching when we're supposed to get those shots. And that's good to know. Let me ask you another thing. We've heard, I know we talked about this briefly, we hear talk about every now and then in the newspapers currently about monkeypox. I know very little about monkeypox, but is it much of a threat? It is out there. There are some people who've been infected with it. And I know it comes from monkeys, but how serious is it? And is there a vaccine for it? What would you say?
Yes, there is. The smallpox vaccine, which we have gotten over the last 100 years on and off, and lately over the last 20 years, I think it has reduced let's talk about that. When we take all these vaccines, what we do is our body changes, and all of us, it improves, and it gets much, much better. And slowly, we cannot allow this vaccine, this virus to attack us, and the vaccine absolutely protects us. So just like that, the smallpox virus a long time ago, about 100 years ago, throughout the 100 years, post-World War II, everybody had to get it. But over the last 20 years, smallpox, no. But now what they did is the monkeypox is very similar to the smallpox. And all the scientists, this is what is fascinating, which I have tremendous respect for. The scientists who sit and analyze all that, they immediately brought it out, and it's called a smallpox/monkeypox vaccine. That's it's already available out there. And people do have to get it. Now, I don't mean anything in any negative way or whatever, but how is it that people can get it? Well, they tend to say that people who have, you know, who are gay people, they sometimes, you know, get it a little bit more. And if one or two has it and there were two, three other people, then it spreads, and that's how it gets around. It's not even that, because what happens is when people either touch or it gets in the water, gets in the air, and it's getting out there, it is spreading to everybody. So the monkeypox is spreading to everybody. Now, what kind of virus is that? So what it does, it's a sore throat, fever, a little chills, and then the skin. This time, it's the skin. by blessedly, it's not the lung, it's not the gut, it's not the brain, but it's the skin. The entire skin gets all kinds of ulcers, et cetera, and it's to protect that, and it slowly goes away within the next week or so. Blessedly, there's no death with it, which is a positive thing. With smallpox, yes, there could have been deaths in the way past, but not with monkeypox. So what they're recommending is same thing. Now you know the absolute importance of the vaccine. It protects all of our bodies and all of us humans. We all have 99% similar bodies. So it protects us, and we all are slowly able to protect each other. Yeah, the monkeypox does spread, sir. It does spread here and there, and a lot of people can get it, yes.
But it's not too terrible if you do get it,
no.
Apparently.
No, it's not.
Well, that's good.
No, not
you
at
know,
all.
Is it possible to get too many vaccines? I mean, does it eventually have some kind of effect on your body? You mentioned bodies change, you know, between smallpox and polio, you know, the sock vaccine if you need it, then there's the COVID vaccine, and then there's the smallpox, I mean, not smallpox, but flu vaccine. There are a lot of vaccines out there that we're getting. The question again, can you get too many vaccines? Will it eventually hurt your body?
I'm going to say that this one of these conversations has been one of the greatest conversations, because you brought up a second point, which is incredible. And let's talk about that, how many vaccines can you take? Is it good to get all of them? Yes, no, how many? All right, so let's talk about that. And I'm glad you brought that point up. I'll tell you what, all we have to do is talk to the military, and then we will learn immediately from them, okay? So let's come back to us and then talk about us regular citizens, and then I'll tell you about the military. Irrespective, because the military goes to different areas, and they work so hard, and they do so much, and they save everybody else's lives, irrespective of everything, they have to literally get 2, 3, 4, 5, and maybe I should not even bring that up, because they're honorable people and they have to do what they have to do, and they get multiple vaccines. But coming back to us, here's what it is. If you go back to about 100, 150 years ago, no vaccine, right? So there was a lot of deaths and a lot of problems. But 100 years ago is the biggest thing is when the influenza started. And then, but when they did multiple analysis, they found so many different other issues where vaccines are critical. So as time passes, now at this point in time, or actually let's go back about 20, 30 years ago. So I remember when I was a child, so let's remember all that. Well, I'm a little longer than that, 50 years ago. But we do get certain vaccines to protect us from the smallpox. And, you know, we take about 4, 5, 6 vaccines. And it's 2, 3 are done when you're born within the first year. And within 3 months, you get another 3 vaccines. And at the age of 1 year, you get a few more vaccines. So it's about 5, 6 of them. That's it. And we do very well with that. But nowadays, they have added more, sir. They have added for children, which I find a little unusual, but they have added hepatitis, which I found odd. I mean, I said, wait a minute, wow. What would a small child get hepatitis? Yes.
Right.
Yes, but they're doing it. So even when my children were born, you know, which we're talking almost 25 years ago, we went there, and the doctor, and I was in Washington, and I went there, and I took the children, and they said, Doc, we have to give hepatitis. I said, excuse me? I said, hepatitis viruses for such small children? Why? That is unusual. They're my children. I mean, what are they exposed to? And, you know, we don't have any. Did you get yours? I said, well, as when we're doctors and we have to go and start working in hospitals, we have to get hepatitis vaccines. So, yeah, me and my husband did. But my little baby children, I said, I get a little nervous. I just don't want to overdo it when the correct one. They said, no, it's actually people do well. It's okay. I said, all right, let me look into it. Oh, yeah, so if I don't allow it, then I have to sign something. Do you know, you're aware of that. So
right. That's
how strict they are. So I said, wait, I just get a little nervous when they're like just less than a month old, born. I said, if they have to get the hepatitis vaccines, I'd like to get it after a year. And she said, then you sign this. I have to sign it. And when the kids were beyond a year, I took them and then I got them. And yeah, it made me very uncomfortable. But, you know, by blessed God, now they're still protected completely from all of it. But so this is the thing. So what they have done is not only the regular ones that they've done for 50, 60 years, which protects us from the other countries also. Now they have added the hepatitis virus. That's the new one that they've added. And I just wonder down the line if they're going to slowly start adding possible COVID. little small born babies don't get influenza, you know, vaccine. They don't, see? And but I just wonder if the COVID, because of how it attacks small children, they may down the line slowly work on it, but it's not an issue yet. Yes. So the number of vaccines increase. Now, let's talk about one more thing that you brought up. By the blessed God, our body is just a phenomenal phenomenal situation. It can attack anything. It will not allow any virus to attack us or bacteria to attack us because our immune globulin will fight. And the vaccines actually for, you know, over 97, 98%, it doesn't bother us at all. It actually tends to protect us. So that is one positive point.
Well, that's important because I was wondering, you can get so many vaccines. I was wondering if eventually they could start to have a detrimental effect on the body. By the way, you refer to smallpox a lot. You know, we've been getting inoculated against smallpox just since we were very, very young, you know, children, for a long time now. Has smallpox disappeared? I never hear of a case of smallpox. What's the answer to that?
So I'm going to say something to you today, which even I had to read in infectious disease and learn a lot of things. It does exist, sir. It exists everywhere. Polio virus exists everywhere. All these main vaccines that we have been given us for over like 50, 60, 70 years have protected bulk of people. But it depends where you are in certain rural areas. If you're exposed to a lot of the change in climate, if you're exposed to a different kind of water, different kind of dirt, the kind of work that you do, you can be exposed. Yes, it does. They all do. These viruses exist, sir. They exist. That is why it is so critical. Now, who is the most important person to constantly look into that? It's like what the IDSA does. If they see something, one or two or three deaths, boom, they have to get out there and start analyzing with depth and figure out what it is. And once they figure it out, even if there's one, two, three deaths, they have to act. And they do it. And that's how they do. So I was a little surprised at that. That polio virus, but now I'm well aware of it, and we can talk about that. But yes, no, it does exist. So for example, I do remember in certain Asian countries, because of the profound heat, I did notice that a lot of them did get the viruses, but some of them here and there did not. They got polio virus. And I have a physician, that a friend of mine, who has it, and he has a bilateral weakness of his legs. Yes, polio. And I'm stunned at that. And I'm like, no, I don't say anything. He brought it up. He was a little aggravated because, you know, apparently his family did not want to get vaccines. And I'm surprised that in Asia they got away with that, because the government is very strict. They have to. Because if one gets it, then what happens, sir? Because of the high population, another 20, 30, 40 people get it. That's why they're very strict on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it does exist. Viruses do exist.
All right. You know, I'm amazed. I can't help but want to know that you decided to become an infectious diseases doctor. It's really been, I assume, an amazing career for you. You did choose a really exciting area to be a physician in, didn't you? And haven't you?
Thank you kindly for saying that. And yes, absolutely. And, you know, when we can come up with good treatments and vaccines, and we can protect darling citizens, and they can live longer, and they can be healthier and better, because, you know, human body is a beautiful thing, and we want to protect it, and we want to make sure nothing bad happens. So, yeah, infectious disease is just absolutely fascinating. Yeah.
It's so great that you've been willing to take your time out to talk with us, because it's, you know, it's so timely to get this kind of information from you. So it's so great. So I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to talk with us. We've been speaking with Dr. Vatsala Sastry. She is based in Brookville, Florida, right down in the area where the hurricane is arriving today as we speak. At this very hour, the rain is pounding down and the winds are going to be picking up. So good luck, doctor. I hope things work out very well for you, and it doesn't get too bad down there, okay? Batten down the hatches, as they say, all right?
Thank you very much. It's an absolute honor, and maybe I'll come up with four or five new different kind of infections next time, and then we can talk about it. And it's absolutely fascinating that what we're all exposed to, sir. Yeah.
That's very good. Okay, doctor. Thank you for your time. And that'll do it for this broadcast, everybody. The opportunity to really learn a lot, and I hope you did. This is really great. Thank you so much. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.